Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of Luke. This study is titled, The Geography of Hell. And our focus begins with Luke chapter 16, verse 26. The conclusion of this study can be found along with more than 2,500 other studies in audio and video format, all free of charge, by simply going to bbfohio.com and scrolling down to our recent studies playlist. You will also find links to our other playlists along with our contact and donation information at bbfohio.com. And now let's begin with our current events update and then our study titled The Geography of Hell, Luke chapter 16, verse 26. This is part one of two.
So as we begin, the COVID scam continues. I mentioned this Wednesday night, but I have to mention it again. The same amount of COVID deaths today as the same day last year. Same number of deaths, and yet, some reason, everybody's not flipping out on you. The reason for the mandates and the lockdowns being lifted is because of elections. And if everyone's dumb enough to help them cheat and win, they'll turn right around and probably November 2nd, we'll have another outbreak. That's my prediction, but it's not a prophecy, so if it doesn't come true, you can't stone me. Criminality, in the meantime, is being covered up. And that's going to also, that's part of the reason why they're trying to get you to think about other things. So the government and news media cannot be trusted. Just the truth. Don't trust your government. You better check everything. That includes everything from your taxes to, anything you do with the government. You better check them out. They have taken advantage of people over the years many times in intimidating people to do things they didn't even really need to do legally. So the news media is owned by the pharmaceutical companies and the government. Between the FCC and the pharmaceutical companies, you don't have a free news media in the United States of America. The Fourth Estate is dead. You have to find alternative sources. The Russian invasion of Ukraine pits two bad sides against each other. If you've been influenced to take a side, you're being played. This is the reality of the Russia versus Ukraine situation. On one side, you have Magog, the Russian bear and enemy of Israel. On the other side, you have Ukraine, which is a New World Order puppet, ally of the Antichrist globalists. They should change the name of Ukraine to the State of Soros. He's behind everything going on in Ukraine.
Wow.
Now, folks, I think my next slide might remind you of this. There isn't always a good or right side in every war. And listen, I want to say this. The reason God tells us things in Bible prophecy isn't so that you'll pick up somebody's flag and take sides. The reason is so that you can be aware of what's going on and not be suckered into that kind of thing. And I've confessed my sin many times. I got suckered into the stupid Iraq war. I was waving that flag when that first started. And then at some point I just kind of, wait a minute. Iraq didn't attack us on 9/11. He's got weapons of mass destruction. So do dozens of other countries. Saddam Hussein's a bad guy. So are all kinds of other leaders. I mean, there was no sense in it other than they needed to set up a Federal Reserve in Iraq. And they needed to bring it into the New World Order. And that's what's going on in Russia.
The first casualty of war is the truth. And if the American people knew the truth about U.S. interference in Ukraine, they might not be so eager to start World War III. During World War II, Western Ukraine sided with the Nazis. After the war, the CIA helped Ukrainian Nazis evade the Nuremberg trials and began operating with them within the Ukraine. After decades of CIA infiltration, the Ukrainian People's Movement emerged in 1989. And gave birth to extremist groups Svoboda, Trident, and Right Sector. Neo-Nazi groups pushing for the ethnic cleansing of Ukraine. Extremist groups cultivated by the CIA, supported by the US State Department, and used by the IMF to bring Ukraine to heel. When Yanukovych beat NATO-backed Yushchenko in the 2010 elections, his government was being pressured into signing an EU association agreement by the International Monetary Fund in their typical conquer-by-debt offer that would financially ruin the Ukraine and place them at the mercy of the World Bank. Yanukovych declined their offer. And in today's corrupt world, you're not allowed to say no to the IMF. Funded by Western NGOs associated with George Soros and the CIA, a highly organized color revolution was immediately deployed against Yanukovych. Organizations such as the National Endowment for Democracy trained activist journalists to utilize Facebook, along with three brand new television networks created within weeks, to recruit people for the protests. This Western-run media campaign was a huge success. The turnout was massive. The CIA has been orchestrating revolutions their entire career, and the first step to their simple formula is to convince people to take to the streets in peaceful protest. They then use agitators to goad the police into violence, and state-run media to ignite the crowd with emotionally charged reports of sacred victims. On November 30th, 2013, the Ukrainian chief of staff, associated closely with the U.S. State Department, ordered the streets to be cleared of protesters for the erection of the annual Christmas tree. When the police arrived, they were met by a highly aggressive and well-organized faction of Ukraine's right sector, who provoked the police into a violent reaction against peaceful protesters, which is all the Western intelligence media reported on. Predictably, this resulted in more unrest and violence, which was further fueled by U.S. Senator John McCain's support of the protests. Leaked phone calls reveal that the U.S. State Department was orchestrating this coup d'etat from within the U.S. Embassy, with support from Vice President Joe Biden. On February 20th, unidentified snipers, firing from government buildings occupied by the protesters, began firing into the crowd, killing people on all sides. Yanukovych's home and offices were taken by armed mobs, and a new government was put into place with a neo-Nazi element that went on to accept the IMF's spurious loan offer and began murdering the Russian-speaking population of Ukraine in Donbas. As a result of this Western-created quagmire, 96% of the people in Crimea voted in favor of joining Russia. And while the nation celebrated, Western media reported that they were invaded by Russia. Their proof? A Russian military presence, which has existed there since 1804. Supporting a criminal war against Russia does not make you a patriot. It makes you a useful idiot of the globalist banking cartel. The very same entities waging war on all of humanity with vaccine passports and experimental jabs. A righteous patriot would call out his government for war crimes. And through fraud and deceit, the United States government has been the world's biggest purveyor of war crimes for decades. All in the name of spreading McDonald's, genetically modified foods, and sexual perversions worldwide. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
That's some hard truth to swallow, but I'm telling you, you do your research, you're going to find out what he's saying is true.
Yep. Amen.
Who fought the deplorables for 4 years? The same people who have stoked what's going on. The same people behind Ukraine and Zelensky. Now listen, I didn't say Russia was good, but that's the game they play. Remember George W. Bush? You're either with us or against us. That's the way they pit it. Well, then I'm against you. Because I'm not going to go along with a New World Order war being stoked to push the globalist agenda. I'm not going to support Russia either. But as Christians, we are supposed to not get caught up emotionally with the world. And that's what I see too many Christians and conservatives who may not know better, because if you're an unsaved conservative, you're going to the same hell as the liberals. And you lack the spiritual discernment of Christians, but sadly too many Christians, professing Christians, lack that spiritual discernment. So don't get caught up in the world's wars
and be used as a useful idiot. As it's that was a line used by Lenin, while the socialists help him take power in Russia, the Bolshevik Revolution, and then after he gained power, he killed him and sent him by the millions to Siberia. Psalm 120, verse 7 says, "I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." We oppose the killing of the innocent. I am not a pacifist. I believe in self-defense war. But America had the opportunity to do that, to go after those involved in 9/11. But they'd also had to have arrested a lot of our own government agents. And instead, they went over to Iraq and set up the New World Order. That does not mean we should support one side or the other. And the question is one side right and the other wrong? If you can find that to be the case, then support what's right. But if they're both wrong, then do not support either side. Amen. Now, is this really helping? Everybody is on their social media, everything canceling, everything Russian.
Yeah.
You know, and I did see where they claim that Disney took Anastasia off of their stuff. But they claim that it was due to a contract thing and it didn't have anything to do with Russia. So we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But you see this all over the place. They're taking anything related to Russia as now, you know, supposed to be evil. Listen, the Russian people aren't behind this. And so if you know Russians, don't start treating them bad because they're Russian. But I love this Babylon Bee. Russia's been removed from Apple Maps. That is just a big ocean there. That's how dumb it is, you know. Yeah, they did that with the... Yeah. So please listen to biblical wisdom and turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Beginning of verse 10. You're familiar with these first verses. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And that's where even Christians stand if you're not following God's word. Verse 12 says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. This is the group we do not want to be identified with. How are they described? Read verse 12 with me. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. He's describing the very same type of people that killed Jesus Christ. He's describing the very same type of people who are part of the globalist New World Order. He's describing the very same people who control our mainstream news media and our education system and the majority of religion in this country. And the medical system. Throw that in there as well. I'll read verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And verse 15, read that. Their feet are swift to shed blood. That should not ever describe a born-again Christian. Amen. Your call for blood should be the last resort, not a knee-jerk reaction because of crap you're seeing on TV and the internet. Just because someone makes a YouTube video, that doesn't mean it's true. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And look at this. And the way of peace have they not known. The same people who have been in control of our governments, world governments, for how many centuries, and we've had nothing but war after war after war. And it's going to continue until Jesus comes and puts an end to it. And here's why. When Jesus comes back, he's going to kill them all. Verse 18, read it. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There may not be now, but there will be when Jesus returns. Amen. That's when the gig is up. Psalm 28:3, draw me not away with the wicked. Say that with me. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Don't be mistaken. All these people who are going to try to pull you into this stuff will always claim that they're trying to bring about world peace. And they'll never have it. mischief is in their hearts. All right. All right. We're in Luke 16. We're going to focus our attention to begin with in verse 26 as we study the geography of hell. There's no excuse for Christians not to know what we're going to study this morning. It's really laid out in Scripture. If you read your Bible from cover to cover, Genesis, Revelation, you'll see it. There should be Bible studies that at least bring it out during a study, and very few churches are teaching the Bible these days. So that's why you'll find what you're going to learn this morning. If you haven't studied it before, if you've been in other churches and such, you may not have ever studied it. I had not studied it, and I'd been in churches for about 20 years and hadn't studied it. So we, for context, however, want to read verses 19 through 26. And so I'm going to ask you to read even verses with me. I'll begin in verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Amen? Now, as I asked last week, I'm going to just mention this. Someone pointed out the rich man's lost in hell, but Abraham called him son. That's because he is genetically a descendant of Abraham. Physically speaking, this rich man was a son of Abraham. And that's why Abraham called him son, even though he's in hell. Just to give you that bit of information. Abraham explains why there are no water deliveries in hell. And that sounds funny, but that's what he's asked for here in this text. In verse 24, Lazarus is requested by the rich man to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. And in verse 26, Abraham explains, beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So, sadly, even those accepting this as a literal truth, and they don't make it a parable to spiritualize, they still downplay the geographic details. So I'm going to start off by telling you, I don't care what somebody else believes. If the Bible teaches something, even because I think a lot of people shy away from what we're going to learn this morning and shy away from teaching it and believing it because they're afraid people will mock or make fun of them. And I'm like, who cares? I mean, yeah, make fun of me all you want. I mean, you think this is wild. I think at any moment I'm going to disappear. Mock and make fun of that. That's called the rapture. I believe it. There's a lot of things I believe people mock. But we believe what the Bible text says. Luke 16, 26, as you just read. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So really, without any pictures or anything, you can picture in your mind that you have hell, and you have a place called Abraham's bosom, also referred to as paradise, and in between is a great gulf fixed. So prior to the resurrection of Jesus, this is a chart version of what this place looked like, or was set up, how it was set up, you'd say. And you notice at the top of the chart, it says middle of the earth. Again, that's what the Bible says. And you will go online and look it up, and you'll see people constantly explaining that away, and they'll even quote the verses where it says it, and they'll say, but we know that's not really what it means. Why do you know that? Just because you haven't got the guts to stand where the Bible stands. That's why you know that. Amen. They just don't have the guts to say, well, you know, it sounds kind of crazy. But the Bible says it, and I believe it. Amen? According to Scripture, this was located in the middle of the earth. That's what the Scripture says. Go to 1 Samuel 28, and we're going to see a very clear example of an interaction surrounding this situation of hell and where it's located and where people are, it's so forth, beginning in verse 7. 1 Samuel 28, verse 7. I'm going to read a little bit while you're turning there. This is about King Saul. It says, "Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." Why? Because he had rejected the word of God. When you reject God's word, you go to the devil's word. "And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." How many of you heard of the witch at Endor?
Yep.
That's who we're talking about. Verse 8, "And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night." Isn't that funny how they love darkness? "And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him," what's the next word? So that would mean he's coming from a place that's down, right? That's what it says. "Whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest that what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land." So see, Saul knew this was wrong. He even had laws against it. His laws was based on God's law. And now he's violating God's law and his own law. "Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord." That's what you call using the Lord's name in vain right there.
Yeah.
"As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice." See, this woman, I may not even been expecting to really see Samuel. But she was so shocked by what's happening here, she cries with a loud voice. "And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." Look, verse 13. Again, in verse 11, where did she bring it? "Whom shall I bring what?
Up.
Okay. Verse 13. "And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God's descending," what?
Ascending.
I'm sorry, I said descending. "I saw God's ascending
out of the earth."
Now, do I have to explain what that means? It means out of the earth. Verse 14. "And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up. And he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to what?
Up.
And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do," and so forth. That's an interesting story. You ought to read it. But we got out of it what we wanted to see, so we have to move on. Coming up. Amen?
Amen.
This is seen repeatedly in Scripture. Luke 10:15, we read, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust where?"
Down
to hell. So when you're going to hell, you're going
down.
If you're brought up from hell, you go
up.
Job 11:8. "It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know?" You get that picture? Up, down. Ezekiel 31:16 begins, "I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit." Amen?
Amen.
Goes on to say, "And all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water," "shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth." So there's the contrast. Well, we see Lazarus with Abraham in paradise. He had access to water. Scripture with Scripture. Just matches right up. And where does it say both those who are cursed and blessed at the time of Ezekiel are in the nether parts of the earth? Now, that was before the resurrection. We'll come back to that. But the only way hell is beneath and below the feet of everyone on earth is if it works like that. Whether you're in Columbus, Ohio, Moscow, Russia, Kyiv, Ukraine, Jerusalem, Israel, Beijing, China, North Pole, South Pole, no matter where you're at, it's down to hell. Because that's how it works. You see that? Of course, I have to be fair, this works on the flat earth model as well. So if you... any flat earthers, see, it's down no matter where you're at on the earth. And that explains, by the way, the extinction of the dinosaurs. I don't know if you've seen this. NASA put this out, I think. This is when the comet hit.